That's fantastic, isn't it? Man, watching that cat play the keyboard just never gets old to me. Like, I could watch it over and over again. That's like those are the kind of videos that you spend like 3 hours watching, like, and you realize what you're doing and you're looking at the screen and you're like, I am wasting my life right now. Like, I have no purpose. Like, I just spent 3 hours watching a monkey dance. You know, what am I doing? Like, that's exactly why we're in this series today, is to ask that question. Like, what are you doing with your time? What are you doing with your talent? What are you doing with your resource? What are you doing with what God is giving you? Because we all have been given something from the Lord. We've all been given resource from God, and we have to ask that question. And last week we talked about, you know, the Bible talks so much about money, and the reason for that is that's a great indicator of what you're passionate about. You can say that you're passionate. You can say, man, I believe in building the church, or I believe in generosity, but the biggest indicator of that is your wallet. And so the question that we've been asking ourselves in this series called Rich is, what are we doing with what God has given us? Are we building? Are we building the church? Are we building people's lives? Are we being generous? Or are we creating kitty cat keyboard, you know, something like it, you know? And so we have to ask ourselves that question. Now, at the beginning here, I have to make a confession. And this is a safe place, right? You're friends this morning. It's Sunday morning. We're in church, family, welcome home. So I'm just gonna make a confession to you. And I haven't really made this confession out loud. In fact, I denied it in my younger years to the detriment of my health. And, well, here goes. I can't tan. Like, I cannot tan. I've tried. It doesn't work. Tanning's not a skill you can hone when you start at my level. Like, I just can't. I can't tan. And this was so frustrating for me when I was younger. I have a brother who can tan. I have a sister who can tan. And God put me right in the middle of those two people and said, burn, baby, burn. You know what I'm saying? Like, it really used to bother me. And one time, we were about to go on vacation as a family, and I came across something in the store. I came across a bottle of Sunless Tanner. And I said, tanning in a bottle, hashtag winning, hashtag I'm buying this, hashtag yes, thank you, hashtag this is going to be awesome. And so I bought this Sunless Tanner, and when I was looking at the options, there was a light to medium option, and there was a medium to dark option, and I said, why would I do light to medium? I mean, come on, people. I can be dark. I can have those golden tones I've always wanted. So I purchased the bottle, and I brought it on vacation with me, and I began to apply. And I didn't read the instructions, and I thought, man, I want to be tan. You know, we're going to be out at the pool, and they're going to be like, oh, my word, you are so tan. And I was thinking, I want to be tan. I want my elbows to be tan. I want my palms to be golden tan. I want to be tan. And so I began to apply without reading the instructions, and I went to bed white, and I woke up in the morning tan. And I didn't care that I looked like more like an Oompa Loompa than tan, that I was streaky, that my palms were all dark, because I was tan, people. I was living the dream. And I have fun with that this morning, because the fact of the matter is, when you use Sunless Tanner, you're not really tan. You know, some of you are like, some of you just started taking notes. You're like, this is good. I'm learning stuff this morning. You're not really tan. You may wear it. You may want to think you're tan. You may want to hide yourself from that reality, but go out in the sun and you better wear 100 SPF. You give it a few days and that stuff's coming off, because it's not real. And the thing about this is, you know, when we come out of a series called Rich, we can feel the conviction of God in a service. We can have the Holy Spirit press on our heart. And the fact of the matter is, we can fool ourselves. The Bible says, James, when we look at the Word of God, it's like looking in the mirror, and we see who we are. But don't be the man that looks in the mirror and then, after seeing yourself, walks away and forget what you look like. Don't let God touch your heart in a moment and say, I gave in the offering. Phew, I feel better. Glad that's over. You know, that kind of thing can happen when you talk about money, because money has a deceitful aspect to it. It's hard to see where you're really at. And that's why Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Look at the pattern of your life. Are you giving? Are you being generous? And don't be deceived. Don't be like, don't have a fake baked generosity, but have a real generosity. Allow God to work it into your heart. Have a lifestyle of generosity. Have a generous spirit. Because the enemy wants to keep you small. Stinginess keeps you small. It shrinks your world. It shrinks what you believe God can do. It shrinks how you see a vision for the future, what God has for your life, how God wants to use you. A stinginess can keep you small. But a generosity opens doors. That's why generosity is so important. That's why the stakes are high in this moment. That's why it's important for you to get this. Because generosity causes you to live a big life, causes you to have big vision for what God can do, causes you to think bigger, causes you to see more. There goes my balloon. Causes you to think bigger. And so the enemy wants to do everything he can to hide you from pockets of stinginess in your life, wants to keep you there, wants to keep you small. And we're going to look at a scripture in Proverbs that really brings this to life for us this morning, really shows us a contrast. Proverbs is great at showing contrast. You know, it talks about the wise and the fool, talks about the righteous and the wicked. And this morning, it builds this contrast for us of the generous person and the stingy person. Let's look at it this morning. Proverbs chapter 11, the world of the generous gets larger and larger, gets exponentially larger. It's a growing world. But the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped. Notice that word world. Have you ever met somebody and you're like, man, that person, they just live in a different world. They just see life differently. World kind of speaks of your perspective. You know, think about an artist. You know, they look at a canvas and they see potential. They see opportunity. They're like, man, I can do something with that. But, you know, maybe you look at a canvas and you're just like, that's just cloth around a frame. They live in a different world. World's your perspective. It's how you see life, how you think life operates, how you see what you see. You know, you can live on the same planet as somebody, but it can be in completely different worlds. When we look at this scripture, we see a contrast of the generous person and the stingy person. The generous person lives in a different world. Both these people might have the same opportunity, might have the same finances, might have the same resources, but they may live on the same planet, but they live in completely different worlds. They have a different perspective about what they have. Draws this contrast. And so this morning, we're going to look at this contrast, and what Proverbs is designed to do in drawing this contrast is to say, ask you the question, where do you stand in this contrast? What world do you live in this morning? So we're going to look at the contrast. We're going to look at three different contrasts. The first one is the generous person lives, they see abundance. The stingy person sees absence. The stingy person's world is small because their eyes are always on what they don't have. I can't give because I just don't have the money. Can't serve because I just don't have the energy. Don't have the time. I can't. It shrinks their world. The world's lived in an absence, lived in what they don't have. That's what their eyes are on. If they give, they realize their eyes are always on what they don't have, always in that absence. The generous person lives in abundance. They recognize what they have. They recognize what the Lord's given them. You know, when you think about this, I think we talked about this parable earlier in the series where Jesus tells the story of a landowner. And the landowner, he's going on a trip, and so he calls in three of his servants, and he gives them a number of talents. A talent was a great sum of money. And he calls them in, and he gives one 5 talents. He gives one 2 talents, and he gives one 1 talent. And he goes away on this trip, and the person with 5 talents takes their talent, and they invest it, and they double it. The person with 2 talents takes what they have, and they invest it, and they double it. But the person with one talent buries their talent in the ground. And scripture says when the master comes back, he calls his servants in to get an account, and he honors the one with five talents. He honors the one with two talents. But it says something interesting with the person with one talent. He calls him in, and he finds out the guy buries it in the ground, and he casts him out into outer darkness. He says, "You wicked, lazy servant, cast him out into outer darkness." But then there's a verse that Jesus uses, a saying that he uses, and he uses it in other times to kind of wrap it up with a principle. And the principle at first glance can come across a little harsh. We'll put it on the screen, Matthew chapter 25. "For everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken from him." Now, at first glance, you can think, that sounds a little harsh. He doesn't have, and even what he has is taken from him? Golly, man, that's harsh. But I want you to notice something in that verse, and we can put it back up on the screen. Look at this. "But the one who has not, even what he has will be taken from him." It's not that he didn't have something. It's not that he wasn't given something. It's that he saw what he had as nothing. You know, with the things that God has given you, with the time he's given you, with the resource he's given you, be careful that you don't underestimate it. Be careful that you don't undervalue it. Because if you do that, if you see the absence, if you see and live in the world of what you don't have, it will cause you to be closed-handed. It'll cause you to be stingy. It will cause you to shrink back. What you don't have, even what he has will be taken from him. Meaning he had something to give. Meaning he had something to contribute. But he lived in the absence. He lived in the lack of his gifting. "Man, I was afraid, master, and I know that you're a hard man, and so I buried it in the ground. I'm not as gifted as these other guys. I don't have what they have. I mean, you gave one five talents. You only gave me one. How could I invest that?" He lived in what he didn't have. And this morning, it's so important for us, if we want to be a generous people, to recognize the things that God has given us. To recognize the things he's planted into us, to live out of that, to say, "Man, I may not have as much as that person, but what I do have, I'm gonna put it in the hands of God and see what he's gonna do." It's an abundance mentality. It's a what if mentality. What if God touches it? What if God uses it? What if God uses the little that I have? I may not have the energy of that person, but I'm gonna give what I got. You know, and they wouldn't even say, the generous person doesn't even say that first part. They don't even say, "I may not have what they have." They just say, "This is what I have, and I believe that God's going to use it. This is what I have, and I believe that God's going to use it." The stingy person doesn't live there. They think, "Man, I can't encourage somebody. I mean, it's hard enough. I'm kind of depressed as it is. I can't give any encouragement." They live out of what they don't have. "I can't give any energy. I'm tired enough as it is on Saturday." They live out of what they don't have. Not realizing that if they give what they did have, God would bless it. Not undervaluing what the Lord gave them. You know, I love that verse in Romans where Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God to change a life." He recognizes the power in it. God's placed this in me, and I recognize the power in that. This is the power of God to change a life. That God has put the Spirit of God in you if you're a believer. And so don't, when an opportunity to pray comes, don't say, "I just don't want to have what it takes to do that." But say, "What if I pray for this person and the Spirit of God touches their life? What could happen?" You live in that abundance that God wants to use you, that God wants to use your resources, that God wants to partner with you. You live in the abundance. The stingy person is always living in the absence, and it shrinks the world, makes them small. The second contrast we see is the generous person sees celebration. The stingy person sees calculation. The generous person, they bring a balloon to the party. Sorry, West Campus, you can't see my arm right now. The generous person, they bring a balloon. They say, "Giving, this is a cause for celebration. I'm gonna bring my balloon." The stingy person, they go, "Giving, this is a cause for calculation." And they begin to calculate. Generous person, they see it simply. They're like, "Hey, I've showed up to the party. It's time to give." Stingy person, it's very complicated. It's time to calculate. You know, it makes me think of this verse in Proverbs, and we'll put it up on the screen. The stingy person, you know, it takes this picture of the stingy person, and he has somebody over to their house, and it, and, and it's like the writer of Proverbs is saying, hey, before you go over there, I just kind of want to give you a heads up. Don't eat the bread of a man who is stingy. Don't desire his delicacies. For he's like one who is inwardly calculating. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart's not with you. You know, you can give and not be generous. You can give and be stingy. You can give and your heart not be in it. You can give and your world still shrink because it's not in your spirit. The stingy man's inwardly calculating. It's very complicated, this giving thing. It's very, you know, I just really need to think about that. You know, time comes to tip and you pull out the calculator. You go, okay, let's see here. Time to tip. Okay, let's see. 15%, that's $5. But my drink's empty. So, minus 8%. And let's see. And then your food was cold. That will be minus 2%. I think a dollar will be fine. The calculating, inwardly calculating, inwardly thinking, counting the cost. Somebody invites you to a birthday party, and you think, that's going to be a gift. But they are paying for my dinner, so I guess I can give them something. Eighth of a tank of gas to get there, and then, I guess we could do something small, inwardly calculating. Heart's not in it. Don't even see the people. Comes time to tithe, you're like, okay, what's 10%? Because that's all I want to give. Let's see, that will be $43.70. Wouldn't want to give a penny more. Calculating. Your heart's not in it. Inwardly calculating. It's complicated. Simple. A generous person celebrates. They go, giving? That's a party. Giving? I get to bless somebody? That's exciting. They bring a balloon. Stingy person brings a calculator. You know what? It's very hard because it's so complicated for the Spirit of God to move in a stingy person's heart. For that spur of the moment gift. Because every time, got to pull out the calculator, got to see how that's going to work. Got to see, I don't know if God can move in this opportunity. Nope, sure can't. You know, when Jesus says, count the cost, you go, don't worry, Lord, I am. You know, that inward calculation. I told that to David last night. He's like, oh, I like that. That's good. Inwardly calculating, it's complicated. Eat, drink, he says, but his heart's not with you. Every time the opportunity comes to give, they have to pull out the calculator. How do you see giving? Really evaluating that in your heart. When an opportunity comes to give, are you celebrating it? Celebrating how that's going to bless somebody's life. Celebrating what God could do. Having a party, saying, God, I know you're going to bless them and you're going to bless me and this is going to be great. Or are you calculating? Calculating. Is the meter running? Oh, the meter's running. Calculating. Generous person sees celebration. Stingy person is calculation. Third, the generous person sees opportunity. When it comes to give, they see opportunity. The stingy person sees obligation. Opportunity. Obligation. You know, obligation works in minimums. How little can I do and get by? Obligation. What's the least amount that I have to give and be okay? Minimums. Small. Shrinks your world. Makes it just about you. Makes it just about getting by. Doesn't build anything. Nobody ever built anything by being obligated to build it. Nothing great. Shrinks your world small. The generous person's world gets larger and larger. They see giving as an opportunity. They see giving as a celebration. They live in the abundance of God. They see it. They see it through the lens of what God could do. The stingy person shrinks it. They shrink it down to an obligation. They shrink it down to something small. Something like Project Partnership comes up and they go, I just feel obligated. There goes my Saturday. Obligation. But the generous person sees an opportunity. They see an opportunity for God to bless somebody. They see an opportunity. You know, obligation puts you in a defensive posture. It makes you shrink back. Obligation, man, I don't know if I can take another obligation. I don't think I can make it with another obligation. It makes you shrink back, makes you small, puts you in a defense. Opportunity puts you on the offense. You're leaning in. You're looking, I'm looking for an opportunity. You know, the Bible says, make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. It doesn't say, make the most of every obligation. Make the most of every opportunity. Be leaning in. Opportunity looks for people. Looks for people to bless. You're driving down the road, looks for somebody that you can give a ride to. And says, this is an opportunity. What if God wants me to pray for them? What if God wants me to take them? How is God going to use this? What if God wants me to tell them about the love of Jesus? This is an opportunity. This is an opportunity to bless. They see every moment as an opportunity. Every moment as an opportunity to give. Every moment as an opportunity to be used by God. Bigger, larger, better. Proverbs creates this contrast, and it's designed to make you do this. It's designed to make you say, I want that. I want to be larger and larger. Who wants to live a small, shrinked world? I want to be in the larger and larger. I want to be the wise person. I want to be the righteous person, because it lays out this contrast. And as we come down to the end of this series, the question for you is, when it comes down to it, are you just giving to get by, or are you giving because you see the opportunity of God, how God wants to bring healing through you, how God wants to bring blessing through you, how God wants to use you, how God wants to multiply what you have, multiply the gift that he's given you, multiply what he's going to do in your life. And just if you step out and give, he's going to do it. I love scripture because it's constantly telling you, you don't have to be afraid to give. You don't have to be afraid to do it. You're not going to get smaller. You're going to get bigger. You're going to be more blessed. You're going to bless somebody else. God's saying, hey, if you just trust me and partner with this, in this with me, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless them. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of them. It's like he wants us to share in that joy. You know, God's a generous God. He's a generous God. One of the verses I've been thinking about is, oh, how abundant is your goodness, which you stored up for those who fear you. Oh, how abundant is your goodness, which you store up. God's a God who stores up goodness for people. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave. He's a giving God. He's a generous God. God doesn't look at you and say, oh, such an obligation. I have to help them again. They're praying again. I got to help them. They're asking me for something. He doesn't see you out of obligation. He waits for the opportunity to bless you. He waits for the opportunity to be good for you. Oh, how abundant is your goodness, which you stored up. You're just stockpiling it for me. Oh, how abundant is your goodness, which you stored up for those who fear you. He celebrates it. So this morning, do you reflect the heart of God? Is it in your spirit? Is generosity something that's in you? Or when pressed on it, is it not real? Is it a fake-baked generosity? Is it something that wears off? Is it something that's not really in you? Because this morning God's saying, I want you to joy in it. I want you to live a big life. I want you to live a large life. I want you to have a big vision for what I want to do in you, how I want to use you, how I want you to be blessed, and how I want you to bless others. Like I was saying, scripture doesn't want you to be afraid. It says, I clothe the flowers of the field. How much more will I take care of you? You don't have to be afraid to give. You don't have to be afraid. In fact, the only reason I believe God sets it up that way is because he joys when we partner with him. He joys when we experience what he experiences when he gives to us. He wants you to enjoy giving. That's his heart. He wants you to be able to partner with him without fear. He wants you to be blessed so you can bless others. That's his heart, that generous spirit. So the question this morning is, do you live in the absence, or do you live in the abundance of what God can do? Is giving a cause for celebration? Is it something that is really simple to you because you just bring a balloon to the party and you're like, man, I gotta bless some people? Or is it a cause for calculation, crunching the numbers? Is it an opportunity to watch God use you? to watch God, when you step out and say, I'm going to be generous in my words, I'm going to encourage somebody, this is an opportunity to watch God, how God's going to use this, how God's going to lift up that person, how God's going to bless them. Is it an opportunity, I'm going to be generous with my money and see how God multiplies it? It's not about what I don't have, it's about the abundance that God's given me. I'm going to be generous. Is it an opportunity for you to see the goodness and the mercy of God used through you? God said, when he blessed Abraham, he said, I'm going to bless you that through you, all the nations of the earth might be blessed. I'm gonna bless you so you can bless others. Enjoy in me. Now, where does the blessing ultimately come from? It comes from God. It's about God. It's not about Abraham, it's about God. So why would God do that? Why wouldn't God just say, I'm gonna bless all the nations? Why would God do that? It's because he wants Abraham to joy in that partnership. He wants to bless Abraham and Abraham to go, God, I'm like you when I'm blessing other people. See the bigness of it. Don't let the enemy shrink your world. Don't let the enemy make you small. Don't let the enemy go, you know what? You don't have enough. You know what? This is a cause for calculation. You know what? Here's another obligation. Don't let that get in your spirit. But say, you know what? I'm going to have an abundance mentality. And I'm going to believe God for big things. And I'm going to celebrate the goodness of God. And I'm going to see every opportunity and make the most of it. Because my God is going to bless me. And my God is going to use me. And my God, who knows what he can do? Who knows how he's going to change people's lives through my generosity? Because of what Christ has done in me, he's going to use it to bless other people. God wants to do that in your life. So don't be afraid this morning. And as we come to the end of this series, let it work in your spirit. Make a decision. Say, I'm going to have a generous spirit. I'm going to be somebody who's going to be generous. I'm going to step out and trust God. I'm going to test him at his word and see if he really does it. Test me. See if I'll not open the floodgates of heaven. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be shrink back. I'm not going to let the enemy work that in my heart, but I'm going to have a generous spirit and see what God will do in your life. See how he'll make you larger and larger. See how your spirit opens up. See the relationships he brings into your life. See how he uses you to partner with him to bless other people. And it's gonna be awesome. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that God, you are a generous and good God. That God, you pour out your love in our hearts. Lord, that you gave so we can know you, that you gave so we can have a relationship with you, that you gave so we could have a purpose, God, and an identity, Lord. Thank you. Work that generosity into our spirit, Lord. Lord, I pray for those in this room, and God, they go, Lord, I'm not there. Lord, change their heart in Jesus' name. Change our hearts to see the potential that you see, to see the what you want to do, to believe you, God, for big things, to believe you, God, to see you do the miraculous through our giving, Lord. Lord, I pray for those who don't know you, God. I pray that they would see you today and would see that you, God, love them and that you gave for them and that you care about them. With every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, the first group of people I want to talk to are those who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Proverbs sets up this contrast this morning, you really feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit and you go, wow, I still have so far to go. And if you were to be honest, you live in kind of the world of obligation, you live kind of in the world of calculation, and you're just like, man, I want to change, but, and I gave, but last week, but I still feel this way. It's still in me. Giving comes by a heart change from the Holy Spirit. And I would encourage you, not in a condemnation sense, but in the truest sense of Scripture, that if that's in your heart and that desperation is there and that sense of, wow, that's a big mountain to climb, then you're in a good spot, because that's the kind of people God changes. That what you need to do is you need to say, God, I repent of my stinginess. I repent of my small thinking. I repent of my lack of trust in you. And God, I pray that you put in my heart a generosity that reflects the generosity of God. That's a godly repentance. And God uses that, and God's gonna touch your heart with generosity. The second group of people are those in this room, and you really don't know the generosity of God because you don't have a relationship with God. You don't know God. You don't know who God is, and you've never experienced his love and his grace in your life. And when you see God, man, the last thing you think of is generosity. And so this morning, you're hearing this, and you don't have a relationship with God. And let me tell you this, that until you have that, true godly generosity only comes from knowing the one who is truly generous. True godly generosity only comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. True godly generosity only comes from knowing God, who is the generous God, from receiving his gift. You know, we referenced the book of Romans earlier, and in the book of Romans, it says that this is a free gift, that what Christ has done for us on the cross is a free gift. It emphasizes that over and over and over and over again, meaning that when you come to God, you can come to him with an excitement, with a joy, with a repentance that says, it's not about what I do, but it's about receiving what you gave me. For God so loved that he gave his son. For God so loved that he died for you. While you are yet sinners, the Bible says, Christ died for you. And when you're in Christ, he gives you a hope and a future. He gives you an identity. He adopts you into his family. He doesn't just save you, he calls you. He gives you a purpose. And God wants to do that in your life this morning. God loves you. God cares about you. God's for you. And so this morning, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you want a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, I want to ask you to raise your hand. We want to pray for you. See that hand? See that hand? You know, God is, see that hand? When you put it up, you can put it down. God is such a generous God, and you know, when I was praying for this message, I was praying that God would truly show his generosity in people's lives and reverse the work of the enemy. Maybe the enemy's touched your heart. Maybe he's told you, you're not good enough. You're not good enough for God. You're a bad person. You're a dirty person. You're not ever gonna be good enough. Maybe he's got you trapped in an addiction. And my heart would say, God, show him your generosity and reverse years of what the enemy would wanna do in their life. Change them from the inside out. Show them that you love them and that you care about them this morning. And that's the heart of God. He wants to do good to you. All he says, he's the pursuing God. He's chasing you. He says, just turn around. Just turn to me and I'll do good to you. Just turn to me and I'll love you. Just turn to me and I'll change your heart. This morning, if you wanna relationship with him, I want to encourage you to raise your hand. Don't let the opportunity pass. Let God do something in your life and say, God, I'm going to give you my life and I'm going to see what you do. I'm going to give you my life and I'm going to test you at your word. And I promise you, God will change you into a new person if you do that. I promise you that. Scripture says that. I stand on the word of God this morning and believe it with all my heart. God will change you into a different person. If you want a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, don't let the moment pass. Raise your hand.